This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
It is, of course, the Women's Day edition of Power Lunch, and I really would like us to get into this conversation. Oh, and I'm also going to put you on the spot here, because I've actually never had this conversation before, and I never thought about it up until we were discussing it with my producer regarding who looks after your children when you pass. Have and are we deliberate as a people in actually saying and appointing someone to care for the children in the event, the unfortunate event, but event rather less, of our passing? Do we have conversations with a loved one? Let's say it's a best friend, or it's an aunt, or it's a sibling. Do we have those conversations with the people in our lives to say, Owen, in the event that I should pass away, can you look after my children? And actually have it written down intentionally, so that if one or both partners pass away at a given time, that it is automatically known that the children go to this party. Which, by the way, it's not a costly exercise at all. Or us as Africans, are we not so intentional about who raises our children in the event of our passing? Who takes care of your children when you pass away, if you should pass away before they are grown up? Have you ever had a kind of conversation with somebody? Have you even asked somebody, will you look after my children in the event that I should pass away? I would love to hear from, if you've ever had that intentional conversation of, listen, so-and-so, in the event that I should go, can you look after my children? Or do you leave it for family to decide? And is it right for us to leave it for family to decide what happens with our own children? I would love to hear how, if you have ever had those conversations, or what's stopping us from having these intentional conversations. Let's talk a little bit about it on 0619870. So I want you to grab the microphone very quickly before we go to the break. Let me ask you this. Have you ever had a conversation with somebody in your life to say, if I should pass away before my children are, let's say, 21, can you look after my children?
It has never come to mind, eh?
Right?
Yeah. First time, wow. Okay.
Right?
It's something I need to think about, yeah.
That's what I'm saying, that even preparing for this conversation, I kept thinking to myself, my gosh, I wonder how many of us are intentional about the conversation of, if I should ever pass away, or me and my partner should ever pass away, or I'm a single parent and I should ever pass away, won't you please look after my children? You've never had that conversation.
No,
so now that you're having this conversation with me, what happens should you pass away? Heaven forbid, Owen, but you leave the studio today and you don't make it home, right? And heaven forbid, or maybe you and your wife are in the car and you leave and you should both pass away. What happens to your children?
Who's going to look after them?
Who's going to look after your children? Because you've never had a conversation with somebody to actually intentionally look after your children. So who looks after your kids? That's how we kick off our conversation this afternoon. And I'll welcome my guests after this.
Urgent, topical, timely. Power 98.7. Getting you talking about what matters.
Indeed, that's what we're doing this public holiday. We're getting you talking about matters. And you know what matters? Your children matter. And the question we're asking today is, have you had a conversation with anybody in your life about what happens to you should you lose your life? And what happens to the children should you lose your life? What happens to the children should you and your partner actually, you know, lose their lives? In the event of death, or in the event of your passing, where do your kids go? Intentionally so. Is it written down? Have you had that conversation with family members? How has that conversation gone? Do you appoint someone to raise your children, and what do you base it on? Or have we become very relaxed or not so intentional about deciding where our children go to in the event of our passing? Or is it too much of a scary thought to think that we're never going to be there, but it's a real, real, real thought and it's a real possibility? Let's get into this with our guest this afternoon. Nkateko Ndala Makoro joins us, who is a psychologist. Thank you so much, Nkateko, for your time this afternoon. Welcome to Power Lunch.
Thank you for having me, Faith, and to the listeners, and happy Women's Day to all the women.
We've also got, thank you very much, Nkateko, we've got Alex Menides, who is the CEO and co-founder of Capital Legacy. Thank you so much, Alex, for your time this afternoon. Welcome to Power Lunch.
Yeah, good afternoon, Faith. And thanks for having me on this special day.
We've also got Jennifer Papers, who is the Executive Director at FAMSA Johannesburg. Jennifer, thank you so much for your time this afternoon. Welcome to Power Lunch.
Good day. Thank you so much for having me, and happy Women's Day.
Thank you very much. And maybe, Nkateko, let's start off with you around how many of us, especially as Africans, actually get into the conversation about what happens should I pass away, or what happens should we as a partnership pass away? What happens to our children?
Sure. And as you rightly like that you say, as a community, especially the Black community, death is still taboo, even though we know that death is a very natural path of life.
I'm just going to ask you just to move around for me. You're saying some poignant points, and I don't want to miss anything, but your signal is a little bit bad. Just try and move about for me, and let's see if we can get something clearer for you.
All right. Let me just... Okay. How is it now?
Much better. There we go. Let's
Much
try it again.
Better.
Yeah.
Yes. Now, I was saying, as you correctly put it, Faith, that, you know, especially in the Black community, things are still a taboo, even though death is such a natural thing. You know, we are all going to die, but there's a lot of taboos around death. And when you're talking about the topic like this, who is going to remain with your children or what is going to happen with your children, we're actually talking about death. And most of the time, even wills, I mean, that is why in October month, there's a will months, you know, to conscientize people to put these things in place. So I think things like this, you will have to put it in a will to say what needs to happen, because a mistake that we also make, especially as the Black community or Africans, is the assumption that family is going to take over without checking, you know, does that family have capacity and resources and the same values and principles and discipline, you know, measures or issues as the same as you. So it's assuming that just because there is family members, they are going to automatically take over without thinking that maybe even as a family member, those family members are not capacitated enough to be able to take care of the children, one, or even emotionally, they are not in the place where they can give your children the same emotional availability that you will have given them.
Sure. Then, you know, Jennifer, it becomes a conversation of intentionality, that we have to intentionally actually select someone to raise our children in the event of our passing, because there's nothing worse than having to have kids lose a parent and yet still they don't know what happens to them after the funeral service is over.
I think having conversations of death for humans in general, it's probably just a scary thought. And so we don't even want to touch that conversation at all. All we do is pray that we live long enough to see our kids grow, but I think it's a reality. We're all going to die at one point or another. And so often when we don't make, plan ahead for our kids, we encounter a lot of other things like child-headed households, kids, get exposed to abuse. You know, you find kids who end up in homes where they're not taken care of. And we don't think about these things, you know, when we are still around. And it's so important that we have these conversations. And like the other speaker has said, it's such a taboo in especially African communities, where when you start bringing up just the word death, it's like, no, you're not allowed to talk about it because you bring bad luck, you know. But I also think another factor that we should take in consideration is culture. we grow up, you know, with our cousins and extended family members. We eat together. We don't see them as cousins. We see them as sisters. We see our aunt as our small mum. And so I think that it also plays a part in it, that we don't even talk or have to consider having to ask, can you please take care of my kids? Because we just take it for granted that when I do die, my kids will just continue forming part of that family.
Sure. And Alex, and I mean, you deal with this kind of conversation, right?
Sure.
Where the waters become muddied. Because attached to the parents dying or you dying, especially if you're a single parent, it's assets, it's money, it's insurance policies, it's life policies, it's pension funds. This is all ka-ching, 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 right? And then the big question becomes, where does the ka-ching, ka-ching go to for the purpose of looking after these kids if the conversation is not being held with intentionality?
Exactly. So, you know, you touch on a point there. There's a lot of ka-ching going around when someone passes away. And you always run a risk that the money can fall into the wrong hands that's there for your children. So it's absolutely true. You need to have this conversation with the people that you hope and want to look after your children if you're no longer here. And I'll just return to that point just to color it in a little more. But you also have to go about doing a will and confronting fears that stem from your culture, as the ladies have put there, because you need to create the segregation of the money from the caregiving of your children. Because the last thing you want, and we've seen this before, is that there's pilfering of the money, of the pension funds, of the life policies. And at the end of the day, then what was intended to look after the children financially is not there, and it's gone amiss. And just to return to that point about talking to and engaging with the people you hope and wish to look after your children, I think it's also important what we've learned recently, that your children, they might not be 18, but your children want to be looked after by these people. Because what we've learned, because a court will, if it comes down to it, a court will order who the actual guardian will be in the absence of you not being here. Mm. And they don't just look to what your wish was. Maybe it was in the will, and they don't just look to, they look to what the child's wish is. And normally it's expressed through a social community worker, what their wish is. And if they don't want to go to that family household, it can become muddy the waters, I think was the words you used, Faith. So you need to approach it in a two-pronged manner. You know, engage your kids if they are that age that you can, and that's really scary but essential, as well as the family, and then make sure that you've got this segregation between the money and the care.
Sure. And I'll open up the lines in a moment so that we can just talk a little bit about it in terms of, have you ever had that conversation with your family members, with your cousins, your friends, best friends, a family, about who raises your children in the event of your death? Have you ever had that, or is it still a scary conversation to have about, can you raise my children in the event that I should pass away? We'll talk a little bit about that. But Nkateko, you know, it's also about, how do we pick, you know, how do you pick a family or select a family? Because that comes in with great responsibility. Sure, you may have the, you know, the finances that will then be cleared in the event of the death. But how do you even look for a family to look after your children? And how do you even have those conversations?
Mm-hmm. And it's to be open. I mean, the openness is both the people that you identify as possibly people that can take care of your kids, and also to be open to your kids as well, and not to force people on our kids, assuming that these are the best people for the kids. I think I have alluded to the fact that, you know, the same values, the same principles, you know, that will be important. So things that are already important in your own household, in how you raise the kids, you know, if, for example, you are a couple or parents or guardians that, you know, raise children, you know, like without gadgets, as an example, and you look at that
other family or people or an individual that you want them to remain with your kids, mm-hmm. will they agree to such terms? Or, you know, you want your kids to explore the world in a particular way versus a particular way, you know, if you're homeschooling, for example, but then the person that you are thinking of, you know, believes very much in the, I will just for the lack of a better word, put it as a formal schooling. You know, if those principles and those values clash, then it can be confusing for the kids because now they have had certain foundations and then those foundations are shaken, and that can bring a lot of confusion and a lot of anxiety. It can provoke a lot of anxiety in the kids to say, you know, now what is the direction? So now they are dealing with the loss of the parent or the parents, and then now having to deal with major adjustments in their lives. So we want to basically minimize the adjustment and then maybe focus on the loss and the grief of the children, but then not be extreme in how we get them to adjust into this new family or this new environment. So those things will be very important to look at, to say, how are we already raising our kids? And are these people that will agree with how we are raising our kids, or are they people who are opposite direction? Then it might not work.
Yeah. You know, Jennifer, then family, that mm-hmm. the truth is, they don't have to be the ones you select mm-hmm. to raise exactly. your children. It doesn't have to be your sister or your aunt. It doesn't have to be, because the very same family may not even subscribe to the ideals of how you've been raising your children, which means that's when you start looking outside of the family structure. But are we even comfortable with even having those kinds of conversations to say, mm-hmm. I don't trust my sister to raise my children, who I trust is my best friend?
That's 100% true. You don't necessarily have to look within your own family. But I think a good thing to look at is when the child is born, a lot of people have godmothers and godfathers that they choose or assign to be in, you know, extension to the kids and how, and, you know, raising the kids or help raising the kids, which is a good way because then the individual or individuals will really have a relationship with the kids growing up from birth. So that's a good way of perhaps looking at, you know, the day I die, these will be the people who would automatically then be the people that agrees from day one that they will take care of my kids. Mm. But it's really, I think money also, you've mentioned money before, really plays a big role in the intention of who takes care of your kids. Is the intention really to love and continue raising the kids, or is the intention to cash in? And that's always a moral issue, you know, within our society. Yes, and I think emotion also plays a role in choosing, because if you don't choose your sister or your brother or a family member, it can cause conflict, but I think it's just important to have these conversations from day one and to be true to yourself and what's best for your kids. The interest of the child always comes first. And I think as the kids grow older as well, to also have these conversations and look at relationships that they have within, you know, the family unit or friends or, you know, outside of the family.
And we're going to continue after the news.
Call Faith on 0861-987-000.
All right. This afternoon, we're talking about the intentionality between of deciding who gets to look after your kids in the event of your death. Have you ever had that conversation with a loved one, with a friend, a family friend, your sibling or a parent to say, in the event that I should pass away, will you take care of my children? Because that's always attached to the assets that are with you. And what happens if you don't have that conversation? Who raises the children if you don't decide who will raise them if you should die? We saw with Nkateko Ndala Mokgoro, who's our psychologist, Jennifer Papers, executive director at FAMSA, as well as Alex Simonides, who is a CEO and the founder of Capital Legacy. And you, of course, on 0861987000. Have you had the conversation as yet about who raises your children in the event of your passing? Diseko in Pretoria North. Hi.
Hi, Auspice Legai. Riteng, you know, it's like you were with me last night and days before, because my daughter is about to turn two, and this is a topic I'm having with myself. I haven't even presented it to my partner to say, what are we going to do should it be that both of us are not here anymore? Because financially, it's taken care of. There is life covers, there is educational policies and so forth. But who is going to be able to raise our child the way we would prefer her to grow up? Because you have to look at even the spiritual factors, the education. When I look at my sister, the firstborn, I don't like the church she's going to. When I look at the secondborn, I don't like how her relationship with money. So it's like very difficult. When I look at my cousins, I'm not that close with my cousins to make a decision. And I don't have friends that I can say I can give my daughter's life to. So it's very difficult. Listening to this topic today, I'm about to cry because it's difficult to even say I've made a decision. Let me go and speak to that person.
Yeah.
I don't even have the first option. What about the second option? So thank you for the topic, but it's also making me run around like a headless chicken because there is no definite conclusion as to who should be the one to take over when I'm not here. So it's very emotional, actually.
Yeah, it's a very triggering conversation because it allows us to be reflective upon the way we raise our, and also it makes us understand the fragility of our own lives, right? That there's going to come a time when we're not there, and should it happen before our kids are older, what happens to them? So I'm glad that though it is triggering, it is opening up a bigger conversation of now what? Now we need to decide who has to take care of these lives should we not be there. And Diseko, I thank you for calling in, and as I said, it's a very moving conversation, but if you would like to participate on it, 0861987000. Maybe Alex, let's talk a little bit about how does inheritance work with children under the age of 18? If parents die or both parents pass away for whatever reason, do those kids automatically inherit your assets? Let's say they've got a house and they've got the policies and you've never decided, and the kids maybe like are 7 and 9 or 5 and 10, and you've never had the conversation with who takes care. What happens to my policies, my savings and everything that is linked to my kids?
Sure, thanks. So you've asked a very complex question. I'm going to try to answer it simply. Let's divide it in the middle. You've done a valid will or you haven't done a will. If you haven't done a will, our laws will state that your children will inherit a share of your house and cash, okay? And then another portion going to your spouse. And then if there's none, there's a whole family tree system that we need to go with. So it's very unpredictable and probably not what your wishes are. So you probably do need to get a will. So let's then assume that you've done a will. In your will, you must then specify that you want your kids to get your house and your belongings and your estate, for lack of a better phrase. But what's key, Faith, is that you must put a clause in there that creates a trust for your children. Because obviously they're 7 and 8, okay? They can't handle the money. And we spoke earlier about that segregation. So you need to create a trust. The trust can own the property on their behalf, can invest the money on their behalf, and can pay for the monthly school fees and the Wi-Fi and the clothing that's needed, and receive requests from hopefully the guardians you've engaged with and documented who you wish to be the caregivers of your children. So that's the perfect will. Just a caution for the listeners is that, much like I just split out, do you have a valid will, or which is not ideal? It's ideal to have a valid will, not ideal not to have a will. You also need to just have a look at your policies, especially that lady that called in a moment ago. Because your policies, you can't make your life policies pay your kids directly, because what will happen is those life policies aren't part of your estate, technically speaking, and we're not going to get into that. But they're technically not part of your estate. That life insurance company will pay the children, or look to pay the children directly into a bank account that needs to get opened. Now, if you remember, Faith, when you were a little child and you had a bank account open for you, Who was standing next to you?
My mom.
The guard. Exactly. And your guardian. Technically, it was your guardian. And so if this life insurance is paying the child's bank account, that now you have this unknown guardian who's got control over it, guess what's going to happen to the money? So you need
wait
to
a second, Alex. Whoa, whoa, whoa. So my life insurance, my life policies, right? They go to my kids. Well, according to when you take it anyways, they ask for beneficiaries, right? They go to your kids. But because the kids don't have a bank account that they've established with the guardian that you're supposed to have standing next to you, then where does the money go? Do they even pay?
So it's the biggest mistake we all make with our life policies. We just think that our will takes care of it, but it's got no jurisdiction over it. What we have to do is you have to make the life policy pay your estate, and then your will puts it into the trust. Otherwise, the life company pays a bank account that needs to get opened in the child's name by a guardian. And who is signing powers on that account? The guardian.
That you have never picked, if you don't become intentional about picking.
Exactly. So you've got to, there's so much care you need to take with this thing. You need to look at your life insurance policy, talk to your financial advisor, say, I need this to pay my will. And the will must put it into a children's trust so the life company can pay that, and then it's not at risk of being misused, should we say.
Let's build up from that one, Alex. Then what is a children's trust? You know, you speak about the children's trust. I know of a family trust, but what is a children's trust?
So in our terminology, a children's trust is a trust you create when you are doing your will. And what it says is it doesn't live and breathe now while you're alive. It only comes into existence when you pass away for the sole benefit of your children. Maybe you're expecting, or maybe you've got two kids and one comes along the way. It's there for all your children. And the money must only be used for their benefit. And it has trustees that you trust to look after the money. Careful that they're not the guardians. Okay. Because the trustees then need to receive requests from the children and their guardians to pay for the things like food and clothing.
Oh.
And so it creates this safe house, if you may, for your wealth that you're trying to pass to your children. Until they get to a certain age, you can say 18 or 25 or 21, whatever your wishes may be, and then they can get access to whatever's left in the trust. And that's the safest way to make sure that the wealth you wish to transfer to your children actually ends up for their benefit.
So the trust must not be my guardian. So if, let's say, the best friend is your preferred guardian or your chosen guardian to raise your children, that best friend cannot be part of the trust. It has to be people that are completely separate and independent.
I wouldn't suggest that. And if you are stuck and you do want that person to be guardian, have someone else or a professional will or trust company stand as the co-trustee to create that check and balance on the money, because those people have their fiduciary duty and a personal liability to the beneficiaries of children.
Success, Maleo was saying, Faith, I also feel it's pivotal to discuss this with the kids as soon as you can. You also don't want to impose someone they do not connect with, a stranger to raise them. They will rebel and resent them. My friend's mom died when she was 8 years old. Salbi in Roodepoort. Hello, Salbi.
Hi, Faith. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks. And you, sir? Go ahead.
Well, I can say it's a very sensitive one for me.
Okay.
I'm a very young man, 32 years, mm-hmm. married.
Mm-hmm.
So each and every time I touch this topic with my wife, I can say it's a no-go area. She doesn't want us to have this conversation. Like, I like to think things are far, right, or think mm-hmm. about the future, but the minute you mention this, she'll say that I'm being negative. Why would I want to think about that while we're still young and etc., we still have some time? But for me, it is concerning that should anything happen to us, what's going to happen to the kids? But for us, it's a no-go area. She doesn't want to have this conversation at all.
Wow.
I don't know what should I do to bring such sensitive topics to her or engage in such conversation so that we know how to shape our future going forward, even thinking about our kids.
Very true, Salbi, and I'm glad because we've got psychologists for you right here. Nkateko, yeah, it's not an easy conversation to have. Maybe you can help in engaging with Salbi about how do we tackle it in the home front. Nkateko?
Obviously.
There we go.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I think the wife needs some assurance, and that's where I also started to say topics like this are made to be taboo, even though death is a very, very natural way of exiting this world. We are all going to die. So it's assuring her to say that by doing this, we're not necessarily inviting, and one of the speakers also spoke about, you know, people are afraid to speak about death because they think they are bringing a bad omen on themselves. Whether you talk about death or not talk about death, we're still going to die. So it's not about bringing bad omen on ourselves. And maybe even with the wife to explore what are the fears around talking about this topic. You know, maybe it's triggering for her. It triggers certain things. You know, I would be interested if maybe the wife lost parents at the early age or lost, had a series of losses, you know. So maybe loss in itself is a triggering topic for the wife. So we need to be gentle in bringing this topic, but also saying this is the reality, and even paint scenarios. I think that can also help to paint different scenarios to say, you know, can you imagine if this was to happen? What do you think will happen eventually? You know, will you be comfortable with something that is automatic, you know, happening that you don't have control over? So at least in talking about it, so you take the wife through this and say, at least talking about it, then we have some form of control, even though it's not all the control, but it's not out of our control, but there is a little bit of control into the situation should that happen when the kids are still minors.
Sure. Yeah, it's a very good advice there. Jennifer, it's, as I said, it almost reminds us of how fragile life is, and the fragility even of our own lives, that at any moment, that actually we're here by grace, you know, that at any moment it could be your time.
Sure, very true. I think even for us speaking about it, again, creates some type of anxiety, you know. But it's very true, man. Yes, we are not here forever, and we don't even know the time. It can just be at any time, you know. Hence, I said in the beginning that a lot of times parents pray for us to, you know, live that lifespan so that we can see our kids growing up. But the reality of it all is that we need to be prepared at all times, not just for ourselves, but this is about our kids that we're talking about. Just imagining leaving this world and leaving a child behind who's too young to be able to take care of themselves, too young to take themselves to school, too young to raise themselves. It should give us anxiety in itself. And so it's just important that we make provision for them to be set for life, you know, to make sure that they're able to go to school, to make sure that they live in a home that's warm and where there's love. That is so important. And so, yes, the fear is there, just the thought of it, but that fear should push us to be able to prepare for that should it happen.
I'm going to go back to the phone lines. Let me go to Jeff in Pumville. Hello, Jeff.
Hi, Fit.
Yes,
sir.
Hi.
Sensitive topic today, yeah. And I'm just wondering what's going on. Let me just put it straight, Fleet. As you have talked, then who's going to be with your kids? So I know someone that I'm currently close to. Mm-hmm. They were left. He was the only child. Mm-hmm. Then the father passed on. Then the father passed on. It was sometime like 20 years ago, while she was roughly about 13. Then in this case, you as a parent, you have left everything for your kids with your siblings. Then while back then, the only child was not old enough. Mm-hmm. So they were not given your property. Now that the child is older, no one in a family talks about the property that is due to the child. Even now, even the child is even old. But they know.
Sure.
So this I'm saying it's a shocking topic because of it's a living experience that we're experiencing now because of amongst those people, probably even the person who passed on had left these things all for his child. Mm-hmm. You understand? Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. only to find that even though the child now is grown up, Faith, you have left your child, even your child now is grown and he has passed that age, but no one is giving her what's due to her.
That is so upsetting. Alex, yeah, let Alex come in here. Alex, you know, and it happens sometimes. Hey, here's a child who's got assets due to them and the family's not speaking about, hey, let's pass these things on to the rightful owner. What happens in that instance?
It's a classic case, and I can only assume that there wasn't a will.
Was there a will, Jeff?
No, there's no, even though there's no, remember, you were still young by then. No one is telling about this thing, yeah. Whether it was there was a will or what. But they know, you understand? And they know that you are the only child of your father, and your father left you with some of these belongings. Sure. But even now, when you have grown, no one is willing to give you what belongs to you. No one is saying anything in the family. I wonder, Faith, if it would be worthwhile the now young adult, based on what was being said, they're maybe 33 years old, approaching the master of the court, maybe with a lawyer or a rules company, and trying to find the estate, because it doesn't sound like the estate has been wound up. And that title, that property title, is maybe roaming around somewhere and can be landed. Because remember I said if you don't have a will and you only have a child, then everything will go to the child.
Okay, so no will, but you've got a kid, everything goes to the kid.
Everything will go to the kid, but gotcha. It doesn't sound like this estate has been wound up properly yet, despite sure. the years. So I wonder if it'd be worth their while to approach a lawyer, approach a firm, approach a wills company, get to the master's office, see what's going on, and that title of that property is probably still sitting in her father's name, and get it transferred into her name, and take the uncomfortable conversation away from the family and take what's rightfully hers.
Jeff, I think it's a lawyer. It's about time the lawyer gets involved.
Yeah, okay. Thank you. Thanks for the information, Faith.
All righty. Nono in Mamelodi. Hi. Hi, Nono. Is it Nunu or Nono? Nunu? Okay, I'm missing this. We'll get back to them. Mpo in Garankuwa. Hello, Mpo.
Hi, Sis Faith. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks. And you, Mama? Go ahead.
Yeah, this topic is so touching just because I... You know, my mom is not a, like, I hands on. I change one and maybe I ring, like, you know, and Motunan to Sakokuaga. And then Kiana Nigit Laro Ugas Halavana. So sometimes Sukregilavana, like at night, Germara, Higitama Losalalima. So sometimes I just, you know, Honali stress, and sometimes I just wish. Mudimu hanzi antilvana, like Ramirex Ding, but it's my overwood, you know.
Because you're so afraid of who's going to stay with these kids.
I'm so afraid. I don't know, in fact, I don't know. I see no one in my family, and I'm not that person what is home, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, Jennifer, it's hard because now you have to look at your kids knowing very well that you could go. Like we hear by grace, we know this, but if you could go, then, you know, will your children be looked after? Not just financially, but just with love.
Yes. Like every time I just watch them and say, and then even though I say, but that love, you're okay, you know? So I see no one, like, around me. And it's painful just because my mom is still alive, so it's not someone alluring. Ari Hudisa anyway, but yeah. She's there, you know. And it's something that Lauren sees in Nahanisa too much, or she's there, but she can't help us.
No, Mpo, thank you so much for sharing. Jennifer, I don't know. It's a hard one when you look around your immediate environment and you realize that no one actually can raise your children with the love that you give them.
I do want to show our listeners that we do have many good, loving foster parents within the system. That even if you don't find someone within your family or a friend that can really take care of your kids, that we do have good foster homes, you know, out there, and kids are raised well by those strangers who eventually become family. So not all hope is lost. Perhaps explore that and how it works. Should you pass and there's no one, you know, how does the system go about? Perhaps speak to a counselor or social worker, you know, with regards to how does the system actually work, just to put your mind at ease.
Yeah. And you know, Nkateko, in that regard, I mean, can you pick a foster home before you even pass and say, if I should ever pass away, would you care for my kids? That you have a foster care on standby, so as it were.
With that system, I'm not sure. Obviously, a social worker would be the right person to know if you can have a preempted foster system. But I think you can mention in your will that I am willing for my children to go into a foster care system, you know, so that then none of the family members know. It will be clear that you're not wanting your children to be in the care of the family members. And I think, you know, I feel what Jennifer and other callers were saying, you know, the pain of knowing that there's a family member that is out there, but they are unable to take care of them. And I always like with clients doing the work of redefining relationships, that just because you are blood with somebody does not necessarily mean that you are family. And there are other families that we can create with people that are strangers, or that with people that we meet along the way that we connect to. So being stuck on the idea that people, you know, family, just because you are, you know, born by the same mother or father or in the same family, bloodline wise, it's supposed to be family, and that's not necessarily the case. Family is who you identify to be close-knit with, that you connect with, that you feel loved, you feel a sense of belonging, and that you feel you can be cared for.
I'm going to go to Success in Pretoria. Hello, Success.
Hi, Faith. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks to you, Mama. Go ahead.
So I just wanted to expand on my tweet. I'm so fortunate that I had to have this conversation with my 7-year-old and 3-year-old. And in that conversation, actually, it was actually casual for me to have it. It was just one of those things. However, I learned that it's very, very important to include the kids in the conversation as early as possible. You heard me, I said, 7-year and a 3-year-old. So because I realized that we are raising children who are so different from us. We were never given opportunity to express ourselves, to even express what we want with regards to our futures and so forth. So with the kids of today, you actually ask them and you learn so much. So one thing that I learned is that don't assume extended families are an option for them. So you don't assume that Rahadi or an aunt and distant mom's cousin is going to fill up the gap, because you want to avoid imposing strangers. And by stranger, I don't mean the Rahadi, but even the Rahadi actually could be a stranger, in the sense that if this Rahadi is invisible in their lives, you know, you don't want the next, they don't know that Rahadi, they're not close to their aunt. The next thing you pass on and jiggy, Rahadi's here is taking over. I think that is unfair on them, because I also believe that familiarity is also important for them.
I hear you, Success. I got to run, ma'am, but I hear you loud and clear. And I have to leave it here. And I have to thank you. Nkateko, thank you so much. Jennifer, Alex, I'm hoping that we were all able to have a moment of pause and reflect. We would just stop, pause and reflect and say, if I should pass away today, who raises my children? And have I chosen?
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.